this time of the year is a lot of attention, a lot of interest surrounding the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So much so, people are coming out with all this stuff about the Gospel of Judas, rather. And I hope you can see through all of that, that all of that stuff is designed to destroy the authority of the Bible. And the moment you lose the authority of the Bible, the floodgates are open. And you'd be swept away with the tide of confusion. You're ever learning but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth because you don't have a final authority. You don't have anything that speaks with authority. And that is authoritative. The Bible is. But there's the attempt to, again, to destroy the Bible's authority in the life of the believer. And so all of this stuff out there in the news today about the Gospel of Judah, the Mag Hammadi, all the Gnostic writings and so forth about an alternate view of Christianity, just know that what they're aiming at is the destruction of the Bible's authority. That's all that's about. That's the bottom line. But in that vein, I want to talk to you briefly here about the subject about what day was Christ resurrected. Now, you might think that that's an easy subject that, why would there be any question about the day of the resurrection of Christ? And yet there is in some circles. Maybe not where you are. Maybe the people that you talk to don't give you occasion or give occasion to question, or you're not questioned by people that deny that Christ was resurrected on the first day of the week. But I just wanted to go over some verses with you and say some things about that I hope will be of some benefit, some use to you. I'll just start out by saying, of course, and I'm sure I'm preaching to the choir when I say this, that Christ was resurrected early Sunday morning, as the scriptures declare, the first day of the week, which was the third day. And I like that as a title, the first day is the third day. And of course, what we're talking about again is that Christ was resurrected early Sunday morning, the first day of the week, which was the third day. Remember what he said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. Now, as we take a look at this subject, another question: should a Bible believer celebrate Good Friday? It is said that using the data, the information in the Bible, in the Gospels, and other sources to calculate the date of Christ's death is not a simple matter. As we talk about the day of his resurrection, and we answer that question, we will see that knowing the date of his resurrection, it is a simple matter to determine the date of his crucifixion. Now, what I want you to do, I want you to look at some verses with me. We're just going to look at the unanimity, if I can say that word, the unanimous position of the Gospels. They're all united in declaring in no uncertain terms that the Lord Jesus Christ was resurrected early Sunday morning, the first day of the week, the first day of the week on anybody's calendar is Sunday. Okay? It doesn't matter when you reckon time, whether you reckon time like the Jews or you reckon times like the Romans. Saturday is the seventh day, the Sabbath, and Sunday is the first day of the week. Okay? That's clear. Matthew 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Now, in the end of the Sabbath, if the Sabbath is on a Saturday, okay, if you take note of this, it doesn't matter when you reckon time, when you start your day. Saturday is Saturday, and Sunday is Sunday. Saturday is the seventh day, Sunday is the first day on anybody's calendar. Okay? Now, that's a point, because all this other business about, you know, Constantine and the calendar, the Greco-Roman calendar, and all of that, it doesn't change the fact that the seventh day is the Sabbath, and the first day of the week is Sunday. Now, I just want to stress that because are that when you hear people talking about when a Jew reckon times, it's just a smoke screen. Because it doesn't change the fact that the first day of the week is Sunday. And it doesn't matter whether you're using a Jewish calendar or whether you're using a Gentile calendar, the first day of the week is Sunday. Now, having said that, we're going to look at these verses, continue to look at these verses. Mark 16, verse 1. Mark 16, verse 1 and 2. And when the Sabbath was passed, again, when the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week, was passed. Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought spices that they might come and anoint him, referring to Christ, his body. Verse 2, and very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. Now, on anybody's reckoning, the rising of the sun is the beginning of the day. Okay? The rising of the sun is the beginning of the day. Okay? Mark 16 and verse 9. Now, you know, if there was any question, Mark 16, verse 9 ought to, you know, hit the nail on the head, so to speak. Now, when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. But now notice, that verse declares unequivocally, Jesus was risen early the first day of the week. How anybody could conclude that Christ was resurrected on the Sabbath, on a Saturday, is beyond me. That verse makes it clear, no uncertain term, that Christ was risen early the first day of the week. He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. Luke chapter 24 and verse 1. Luke chapter 24 and verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, They came unto the sepulchre, bringing spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. John chapter 20, verse 1. John chapter 20, verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. John chapter 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. Now, again, the first day of the week is the same on a Jewish calendar as on a Gentile calendar. And when a Jew marks time and when a Gentile marks time doesn't change that fact. The first day of the week is Sunday. Christ was resurrected early Sunday morning, the first day of the week. Now, Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40, a very significant verse in this discussion. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40. In Matthew 12 and verse 40, we read, For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Okay? Now, the first day is the third day. That's the point that I want to get across here. But I want to raise another issue here. All of the passages makes it abundantly clear that Christ was resurrected on the third day, the first day of the week, very early in the morning, before sunrise. Okay? And that is said to be the third day. Now in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40, there are those who use that verse to demand 72 hours to be accounted for. And in their reckoning, they will attempt to destroy, the Friday as being the day, and will suggest that Wednesday is the day of Christ's crucifixion, because you can't, between Friday and Sunday morning, you don't have 72 hours. But if 72 hours is to be the interpretation of Matthew 12 and 40, you have an you have a situation that is unresolvable. There is no way to reconcile 72 hours with the third day and being early Sunday morning. There's no way to reckon 72 hours. If you follow what I'm saying here, based on how people like to read Matthew 12:40 and suggest to you, and more than suggest in their thinking, that you have to account for 72 hours. If that is your thinking, there's no way to reconcile the scriptures. The scriptures would just be unequivocally in error. There's no way to avoid having the scriptures to be in error. To try to get 72 hours and have Christ resurrected on the first day of the week. Okay, and it be Wednesday, Wednesday or Friday. You can't reconcile Wednesday or Friday with the 72-hour position. My point to you is this, simply, that any portion of the day is counted as the day, okay, without it being a literal 72 hours. Matthew 12:40 is not a reference to a literal 72 hours. Christ was resurrected, and here's my point. You can't interpret Matthew 12:40. You cannot. All the references that tells you when the Lord Jesus Christ was resurrected teaches you you cannot interpret Matthew 12:40 as being literally 72 hours. Okay? And I'll show you this in a moment. Now, having said that, knowing the day and the time of Christ's resurrection, one is able easily to determine the day of his death, the day of his crucifixion. And we want to do that. And here's how we're going to do that. Now, if you got a piece of paper and a pen with you, I want you to draw four columns. And three rows, four columns, and three rows, or it could be two columns, four columns and two rows. Either way. Yes, but the script, the scripture declares that he was risen on the first day of the week, early that Sunday morning. That's the wording of the scriptures. He was resurrected early Sunday morning, early in the morning. Very early. And so that third day doesn't lend itself to the 72-hour theory interpretation, is my point. Now, here's what we're going to do. I want you to illustrate this. I wish I could do this on the, you know, where everyone could see it on the computer. Doesn't matter what time when you start the day. The morning, it's early Sunday morning. See, if you start reckoning the time, the evening and the morning. See, instead of reckoning the morning and the evening, you're reckoning the evening and the morning. It doesn't change the morning from being the morning. Six in the evening is not morning, it's evening. Okay? Now they reckon their day from the evening to the morning. But the evening is not the morning. The morning is still the morning. Okay? That's what you want to acknowledge here. But now, graph this in your mind, or graph this on a piece of paper. You got four columns. And the first column, I want you to put Thursday. The second column, Friday. The third column, Saturday. And the fourth column, Sunday. That's your first row. Now, on your second row, I want you to start at Sunday. And I want you to put underneath Sunday these words, the third day. You see, the first day of the week is the third day. The third day. In the Saturday column underneath that, I want you to put the second day. under Saturday, second row, put second day. Under Friday, first day. Now, Matthew 12:40 says 3 days. So you got Friday, your first day, Saturday, your second day, and Sunday is the third day. The first day of the week is the third day. Now, in the third row, on the Saturday, under the third column, on the Saturday, the third row, I want you to put the third night. Remember, 3 days and three nights. But now Saturday, under Saturday, I want you to put the third night. On that third row, on the Friday, I want you to put second night. Now, you see, your first night is what? Thursday. Christ was crucified Thursday and buried Thursday night. Okay? 3 days, three nights. So what does that tell us? That tells us, and the scriptures are abundantly clear, that Christ was crucified on Thursday, not Friday, on Thursday, not Wednesday. On Thursday, he was crucified. He was resurrected early Sunday morning, which is the third day. Now, back to the question. Should Bible believers celebrate Good Friday? To do so would undermine the principle of our walk as Christians, for we walk by faith. Now, what's the spirit of faith? 2 Corinthians 4:13. According as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. To promote or to celebrate Good Friday would be inconsistent with the true spirit of faith, with the true Bible believer's viewpoint. The Word of God teaches unequivocally Christ was crucified on a Thursday, resurrected on a Sunday morning. 3 days, three nights. Good Friday is not the truth. Wednesday is not the truth. Okay? You would undermine your principle, the principle of your walk as a believer. And we would destroy our mission, as 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 teaches us. We are the pillars and ground of the truth. Our mission is to represent the truth as a church. In verse 16, greatest the mystery of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. You see, we are the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And to represent or to associate ourselves or to give credit to falsehood would undermine our principles, the principle of our walk as believers, the just shall live by faith, and it would destroy our mission to represent truth. That's what's fundamentally wrong with the celebration of Good Friday. Well, I told you it'd be something light, I hope. Someone said to me, I taught this earlier today, and someone said to me, you know, you have to be a deep thinker to sort all this stuff out. And I said, no. Number one, I'm not a deep thinker. I said, no, the problem in us seeing these things is that we've been, the scriptures have been corrupted with the doctrines and the commandments of men. Our hearts and our minds have been blinded by the God of this world with the teaching for doctrine, the commandments of men, the teachings of men, the viewpoints of men, human viewpoint. We got a book. All we have to do is pay attention to the words written on the page in that book. Just as Jesus said to the Sadducees, have ye not read what God said? The attitude you have to have about the book in your hand is that that's God's word and it's right. Whatever it speaks about is right about it. And when we take him at his word, we are protected, we are saved from the doctrines and the commandments of men. We're saved from doctrines that promote ungodliness. Because when you undermine your faith, when you give in to celebrating traditions that are contrary to the Word of God, contrary to the doctrine, contrary to the written Word of God, when you do that, you open the floodgates, not for stability, but for instability. You open the floodgate for a departure from God, not a turning to him. I hope you see that. It is so important that we learn to conduct ourselves in the light of the written word of God, rightly divided.